Romans chapter 8, this is the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and it's taken to be one of the greatest pieces of literature of ancient times. But I'm going to read just one verse for us today that we will reflect upon. It's verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Because it's so short, I'll read it again. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This year, a new year, a year of new beginnings, new opportunities, new challenges, new encouragements. This year, it is my prayer, and I trust a prayer of each one of us, that we will continue to journey together, to face together everything that lies ahead for any one of us, but together to face all that lies ahead for us as a church. And today and over the next few weeks, I'm going to particularly be speaking about us as a church. Now, I'm sure that some of what I say will be very applicable to you in your own circumstances, in the life that you live day by day. And that'll be great. And the wonderful thing about God is he does speak to us. And you may know that still small voice speaking to you, even as I speak, reminding you of what God has said to you in the past, challenging you about what lies ahead, calling you afresh back to himself. And that'll be great as God does that among us. But what I want to say is very much applicable to us as a church and about us journeying together. And it's all about a journey that we are making together. It's a journey that we've been making together for a number of years. But I want to begin with perhaps a little bit of a story. Now, how do all good stories begin? Once upon a time. When I first came to the church, it was 13 years ago that I first came to Evesham Baptist Church. And even then, there was talk about our buildings. Some people were positive, some people were negative, but there was talk about buildings. I was shown plans that had been drawn up in the past to do with our buildings. The premises that we have even today, 13 years on, they were not adequate. People were complaining about them. We couldn't expand the ministry of the church because of them. We were having trouble on some Sundays fitting people in and so on. The discussion, the talk has been going on for years, and it was going on 13 years ago when I first came and I first met the deacons. In more recent time, we have given ourselves to pray. To pray about our buildings, to say to God, what should we be doing? Should we be extending? Should we be moving? Is there something clear? Is there something obvious that you want us to be doing? We put ourselves before God. We had weeks of prayer together, and then we had more weeks of prayer, asking God, what is it you want us to do with our buildings? We had discussions together. We had open mornings. We had away days. We had opportunities to say to one another, this is what I think we should be doing. We prayed a bit more and we discussed a bit more. And then God gave his response to us. And I'm not going to tell you what it was. No, I will. But just not yet. And there's a reason for that. If you're anything like me, You face an issue. You pray. You discuss. You pray a bit more. You discuss a bit more. God responds. What do you do? Well, you pray. And then you look. And then you discuss. And then God says, I've already told you. Do you know that feeling? And then we say, well, hang on, it doesn't quite fit our plans. The vision of what we think we should be doing and the vision of what we think you're doing, God, it doesn't quite fit. And then you get to a point in all the prayer and the discussion, you find you're struggling. And there is that, we use the phrase, you know, banging your head against a brick wall. It feels like you can't get anywhere. And all the doors we were trying to open, all the possibilities we were looking at about our premises, about our buildings, it felt as though God was closing the doors as fast as we opened them. We looked about the possibility of knocking all of this down and starting again, about possibility of extending, possibility of finding another plot of land in the center of town. And it just came to nothing. And we spent time praying, talking, discussing. And so we made plans. And we prayed. And then we said, in the midst of our frustration and our struggle, I said to John one day, John Darby, maybe God has already told us what to do. And that's a very humbling thing to come to, point to come to. When you realize God has already told you what you need to do, but you kind of go, hang on, that's just too obvious. It's too clear. It's a bit like, have you ever prayed and asked God what to do and there's been writing in the sky? Has that ever happened to you? No. Have you ever had a letter that tells you, you know, dear Martin, this is what I want you to do tomorrow. Love God. You know, if that happens, we'd go, hang on, that's a bit too obvious. I need to look at everything else first. And I think that's what we did. That's what we sought to do. Here's a map. Let me put a map up of where we're at the moment. I don't know if you can see that very clearly, but that's from Google Earth, if you've ever enjoyed the blessings of Google Earth. Here is Bridge Street. There is, can you see that? Cal Street. This is, what's this? Mill Street, all the way around there. And this is where we are. Don't know if you can spot your car. Parked there. Okay. But in turn, I'm going to put a big red blob on us. That's to say, that's our land at the moment. That's where we're at. And if I put that on, come back a bit, there's where we are. There's Cal Street. There's the bridge. And this is all Bengeworth and so on. Badsey Road going up. And there's the bypass around there. And that's where we are at the moment. And we said, maybe God has already told us what to do. Well, do you remember I said, kind of right back at the beginning, I said God responded, and I didn't tell you what it was? You see, we prayed, and we said, God, would you open our eyes, would you show us what we should be doing about our premises, about our buildings? And God sent us a letter. No, he didn't, not literally, but we received a letter. And it was a letter from some solicitors in Minehead. And these solicitors, we didn't know who they were, but they said a lady by the name of Miss Baylis has died and has left you something in her will. We didn't know who Miss Baylis was. Now, it turns out that Miss Baylis used to come to the church when she was young. And I think Rini probably remembers Miss Baylis. And I think Miss Baylis's father was a deacon. Was it at the time when your dad was You know, your father was minister in the church during the war. And so we found out who she is, but we received a letter when we were praying. A letter arrived. And what it was, it said in this letter that God has left you a gift of some land. No, it didn't. No. It said, Miss Bayliss has left you some land. And I thought, oh, that's very nice. Left us some land. We didn't know where this land was. It took months and months and months before we actually found out where the land was. But we're back to maybe God had already told us what to do. What was it about us? What was it about me? What was it about the deacons that we prayed and an answer came and we go, no, that's just too obvious. Let's put it on one side. Let's explore all the other options that fit in with our plans. And we'll only come back to this when we realize our plans come to nothing. Well, there's the town. That's where we are at the moment. And the piece of land that possibly God was saying, you need to take a look at this. And we didn't. And so God kept on trying to tell us, you need to take a look at this, because here is your answer. How much more obvious do you want it to get? And God had made available to us 4 acres of land. It's far more land than we'll probably ever know what to do with. And sometimes God does the obvious. Sometimes God's work is so obvious that we miss it. There is a lovely, lovely story that takes place after the resurrection of Jesus. It's recorded in John 21. And the disciples have gone out fishing. And they've got experienced fishermen on the boat. They know how to do it. They've got their plans. They've done it millions of times before. Of course, it's obvious. And they've been fishing away. And then they see a figure on the shore. And this figure seems to be watching them as they are frustrated because they can't catch any fish. Nothing. All night. He calls out to them and says, how many fish have you caught? Nothing. We've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing. Put your nets over on the right side of the boat. Now, I don't know whether that meant the right side as opposed to the left side, or whether it was the right side as opposed to the wrong side of the boat. But he said, put your nets over the right side of the boat. And do you remember what happened? The disciples are going, hang on, you know, we've been fishing all night. Do you really think that's going to make so much difference? Well, they put the net over that side. The obvious thing, staring them in the face. And their net was so full that it was full, really, to overflowing. And God is speaking to us and has been speaking to us. And it is necessary for us to take account of what God has been saying to us. It may not fit all of the details of our plans or what we'd like, but it seems that God has been speaking and saying, there is an opportunity that faces you this year. More than an opportunity, there is a challenge that faces you this year. A challenge to respond to what I've already said, what I've already done, what I've been directing you to. And it will cost you. It will change you. It will reveal more of God's character to us than we'd ever imagine possible as we make this journey together to discover what His will is for us as a church. Now I read from Romans. The Apostle Paul wrote, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. And what I want to stress today is that God is with us as we face the year, as a church, as you face the year as an individual, but as you face this new year, as we face this new year as a church, God is with us. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know that. And we would stress that. We would say it to one another. We would remind one another of it. And the Apostle Paul begins this sentence with, we know. We know. Now we might say, well, what do we know? We might want to list what we know. We might want to say, well, I know that this is God's will for your life. I know that this is God's will for the church. But I'm not sure that that is what Paul is talking about. I think what he's saying is, we know God. We know God. We know that God is kind. We know that God is loving. We know that God is full of life. We know that God forgives us when we make mistakes. We know that God is our Savior. We know that God is on our side. We know that God is faithful even when we are faithless. We know. And so we stand in a place of confidence, humility, yet confidence, because we know what God is like. And our experience and our journey together and as individuals speaks to us about what we know of God. And where we are as a church, we can say together, we know God is good. We can say together that God has brought us to this place and he is at work in us. Together. God is at work. That's what it says. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, God is at work. God never sleeps. Even when we don't hear the answer to our prayer right away, even though we don't always get directions right off about what we want, God is not asleep. God is at work. God is working his purposes out. God is working his purposes out in you and in me. And together, God is working his purposes out that we may not understand. And the chances are we'll only understand them as we make the journey. As together we move forward, we'll begin to understand and see what God is working out. But he is. God is at work in our decisions. God is at work in our responses to him. God is at work in our generosity. God is at work in our sacrifice. It's a journey that we are making together. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God is at work in all things. That's in the detail. In the seemingly irrelevant things, in the deacons' meetings, the church meetings, the discussions we have, in everything that is going on around about us, God is at work in all things because he's got a great plan. He never sleeps and there's nothing that is missed by him. And we need today, perhaps more than ever before, to have an understanding of God's covering hands over the journey that we've been making. As a church, God is at work in all things. Well, of course, goes on. God is at work in all things for the good of those who love him. Why is he at work in all things for the good of those who love him? Because God is good. God is good. God will not work evil in your life. God will not work evil in our lives because it's against the character of God. Because God is good. God is kind. Therefore, he will be kind. God is loving. Therefore, what he does with us is loving. God loves the world. Therefore, what he does with us is a sign of that love for the world. But he's with us now and he's doing this work now. God is at work in all things for the good of those who love him. And we can take the whole thing together. That God is at work in all things for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, I don't know about you, but I think the big purpose, God's big plan, God's big purpose, I can just about grab hold of and I can articulate it. It is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and his mission today, his purposes today are that the world should be reconciled back to himself, that the world should know that God loves them. God desires to have relationship with them, and that we will only be fully human when we have that relationship with God. Now I get that, the big purpose. But it's when we get down to the details that sometimes I struggle. What is God's purpose for my life? What is God's purpose for this community of believers? That's when my questions really kick in and I really begin to struggle sometimes. But God is at work. We know God's at work in all things for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, I wonder, are we aware that God has called you to be part of his plan here? Are you aware of that? Now, you might say, well, hang on. I moved to Evesham, let's say, because of a job. That's what you thought. You see, God has a bigger plan. God brought you to Evesham because he has a plan with a community of believers. Well, I bought this. I did that. I made that decision because of this and this and this and this. That's what you thought. But it is because God has a purpose for your life and for our life together that he called you. And he said, come and do this. Be part of this. And sometimes I wonder whether God needs to say, here's a job for you to do in this place. Here's a nice house for you to buy or whatever it is. Because we don't hear him when he says, I want you to be part of these people. My plan here. So he says, move because of this job, move because of this house, move because of this and that and the other. But God is working his purpose out. God is with us today. Where we're at as a church is not a surprise to God. It doesn't shock him. It doesn't take him aback. God is with us, and God is working his purpose out in our hearts, in our lives today. And it is with this confidence, this awareness that God has been handling our journey. That he's been with us on our journey, but he's with us now as we face this new year. And as I've intimated, the challenges about our decisions, the challenges about the decisions we have to make about our buildings and about premises, where the location of the church will be, this is what we face, and we say with confidence, we know God is with us. We know God is working his purposes out because he loves us. Let's take a moment to pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. Fundamentally, you are good and you are kind. You are loving. You are merciful to us, and we give thanks to you for that. Father, we pray that today you would stir us in a deep and profound way. Stir us and help us to understand that you are the sovereign God. You are the God who is the God above all gods, the Lord above all lords. And you have our lives in your hand. You have our life together in your hands. And thank you, Father, that you are leading us, directing us, taking us forward. And you're doing that as you're at work in us today. Be with us, we pray, as we serve you by serving one another by serving our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.